The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And now we step into the lunchtime, Doctor. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Tusker, and good afternoon to all our listeners out there. It is the last lunchtime, Doctor, for the week. But, of course, we have a very interesting topic going on today. But while we are discussing this specific topic, anybody can feel free to call in and send a WhatsApp on any of their medical concerns, any of the medical questions that they have, and we can have a conversation surrounding that as well. So today's topic is going to be about hernias, because 2 days ago somebody asked me about a little bump in the inguinal region, and you know, hernias are the most common explanation for that bump, but today we're going to learn a lot about hernias, what they are, who is prone to getting hernias, and even how we may treat some of them.
So the first question, what exactly is a hernia and how does it happen?
So a hernia is actually when an organ or even tissues pushes through a weak spot or opening in the muscle or the connective tissue that normally holds those organs and tissues in place. And the most common site that we do see hernias is the abdominal wall, but they can really occur in other areas as well. So sometimes we see it in the groin area or by the belly button or in the upper stomach or even along surgical scars if persons have surgical scars from previous surgeries. Imagine the abdominal wall as a net that is holding everything together. When that net weakens or when that net tears, then the internal tissue or the fat, it can bulge through, and that is creating what we recognize as a hernia. And this bulge is usually more visible when the person is standing up, when they are coughing, when they're straining, and it may even disappear when they are lying down as well. Now, hernias actually develop because of a combination of weakness in the muscle and increased pressure in the abdomen itself. So weak spots can be present from birth, and we call those congenital, or it can develop later in life because of aging, if the person is going through repeated strain, if they've had some sort of injury, and activities like heavy lifting or chronically coughing or even obesity, constipation, pregnancy, these things significantly increase a person's abdominal pressure, and that makes hernias more likely in these persons. It is also important to understand that hernias do not heal on their own. Once that weak spot forms, the bulge tends to get worse over time without having any sort of proper management.
And the next question is, are there different types of hernias and which ones are most common?
Yeah, there are actually several different types of hernias, and understanding the differences really help persons to identify them early. The most common type is the inguinal hernia, which occurs in the groin area, and that actually accounts for about 75% of all hernias. It is more common in men because men tend to have a natural weakness in the inguinal canal. And then there's also umbilical hernias that tend to happen near the belly button, and they are more frequently seen in infants or pregnant women or even obese adults. Then we have the hiatal hernias, and that really occurs when part of the stomach pushes up through the diaphragm into the chest cavity itself, and that often leads to acid reflux, heartburn symptoms. And then we have the incisional hernias, and those tend to develop at the site of a previous surgical scar where the abdominal wall has not fully healed as yet. They are less common, but important types. For example, the femoral hernias, which really relocate below the groin, and that is more common in women. And then we have the epigastric hernias as well, which we would see in the upper abdomen. Now, the important thing to understand is that each type can present differently, and they may even require different management strategies as well. For example, if we're looking at the hiatal hernia, the one that pushes the stomach through the diaphragm into the chest cavity, that may be managed with lifestyle changes and medication. But if we're looking at the inguinal hernia, which occurs in the groin, that may eventually require surgery to prevent any sort of long-standing complications. So understanding the distinctions really help people to recognize the early warning signs and to seek the timely management and treatment.
And, well, actually, there's a question that came in. Would you like to answer that one before we go on to the next one?
Sure, we can do that.
All right. One person is asking, and I believe this is from the topic of diverticulitis some time ago. They were asking if beef or lentil peas bad for that diet.
So when we're looking at diverticulitis, this is really more of the inflammation of the diverticular that is present as, you know, as persons age. Now, during a diverticulitis flare-up, you want to avoid the high-fiber foods. So you want to avoid the lentil peas, the chickpeas, the beans, any sort of other legumes as well, because that can help worsen the bloating and the pain and the inflammation. And of course, during these flare-ups as well, you want to avoid those tough meats like the beef, especially if it is very fatty. But during remission and the recovery period, lentil peas will become beneficial because they are a great source of soluble fiber, and that will help to regulate the bowel movements. Lean beef can be eaten occasionally, but of course in moderation. You don't want to have a high intake of red meat, especially the processed meats, because that will increase the risk of the diverticulitis itself.
Who is more at risk of developing, going back to the hernia topic now, developing a hernia, men, women, or children?
So hernias really can affect anyone, but there are some groups that are at a higher risk than others. Men are significantly more likely to develop inguinal hernias. Studies actually show that about 1 in 4 men will actually develop an inguinal hernia in their lifetime, compared to 1 in 50 women. Women are more prone to femoral hernias, especially after pregnancy, because of differences in the anatomy of our pelvis. Children, especially when we're looking at infants, they may be more prone to developing umbilical hernias, and these will often resolve on their own within the first few years of life without requiring any sort of surgery. There are other risk factors that we also have to look out for. So a person's age, you know, as you age, the abdominal wall just automatically weakens, and that puts you at risk for developing hernias. Obesity as well, because it increases the pressure within the abdominal cavity. Chronic coughing, constipation, heavy lifting, these things all increase the pressure within the abdominal cavity. And by increasing the pressure and weakening the abdominal wall, you are putting yourself at risk for developing a hernia. And of course, as we talked about the incisional hernias, we do know that previous abdominal surgeries puts a person at risk for developing hernias in the areas that have not healed post-surgery as well. People who have connective tissue disorders, so something like Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, they are also more vulnerable because they have weaker supportive tissues within their body. Pregnancy is something that increases the pressure in your abdomen, and that makes women a lot more susceptible to umbilical and hiatal hernias during and even after childbirth as well. So there are some risks, like genetics and aging that, of course, can't be changed, but modifying your lifestyle factors like maintaining a healthy weight and, of course, avoiding any sort of unnecessary strain can significantly reduce a person's risk of developing a hernia.
And a question coming in via our WhatsApp number. Do you get hernia in scrotums, in local term, big scrotum? Does that happen?
So what happens is that sometimes you can get a hernia in the scrotum, and this is usually called an inguinoscrotal hernia, which is a type of inguinal hernia. And normally what will happen is that your intestines actually sit inside your abdominal cavity. In an inguinal hernia, part of that intestine or the abdominal fat itself is going to push through a weak spot in the abdominal wall or the inguinal canal. And if the hernia tends to descend downwards even more, then it can enter the scrotum and cause that swelling and discomfort as well. But there are other factors within the scrotum that can cause swelling. It can be something as simple as a lipoma to a hydrocele, a varicocele. There are many different reasons for swelling to occur in that region.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue with the topic. Any other questions that you have, and of course, your phone calls at 625-2257, 627-3223, and of course, 306-1065. We'll be right back.
Go big, go digital, go everywhere with the Big Board Company. With 18 high-impact digital billboard locations across the country, the Big Board Company puts your brand where it belongs, front and center. With state-of-the-art LED screens in the most high-traffic areas across the country, you are guaranteed to be seen. Get flexible scheduling, real-time updates, and the most eye-catching and dynamic visuals. With free artwork from local businesses to national brands, we bring reach and visibility like nobody else does. 18 locations, endless possibilities. Advertise with the Big Board Company and get that big board impact. Call 368-3754 for more information.
Tune in to Betterments with Old Space. Monday through Thursday, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a program that educates and is solution-based. Space tackles the issues that matter to you, providing a platform to speak your mind and find solutions. That's Betterments with Base, with a focus on education and resolution. This is all about making things better for you. You can reach us via phone and WhatsApp to share your thoughts and find solutions to the issues that matter to you. So if you want to make a difference and have your voice heard, tune into Freedom 106.5 FM and join us for Betterments with Bass Monday through Thursday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Better for you, only on Freedom 106.5 FM, where we believe that your voice matters.
And now we return to the Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM and our sister station Sangeet 106.1 FM and Sky 99.5 FM are on with us as well. And today we're talking about hernias, how they happen, and just giving some general information on that as well. So remember, if you have any questions, 306-1065 is the number. And of course, 625-2257, 627-3223. And Dr. Dean, we have a call coming in. Let's take it. Hello, good day.
Hi, good day.
Good day, welcome.
Yes, thanks. I'm calling, I know it's on your radio, so I don't know what you are talking about.
We're talking about hernias this afternoon.
Okay. What I'm calling you all for, like a little idea, help. Someone fell, and the person, and someone tried to pick up someone who fall down, right? And when the person tried to pick them up, they feel a bad pain to the back of the hip. And that bad pain is not at the side of the hip, it's at the back of the hip. And this is the third day. But sometimes when getting off the bed, you will feel it bad. Sometimes you're walking, you're not feeling it. You're sitting down, you're not feeling it. And what happened is that person have regular bowel movement, except once in a while they might miss a day. And since she feel that bad pain trying to pick up that person, which today is the third day, no bowel movement. I would like to know what's going on. I'll listen to you off the air. Have a nice day. Love you all.
Thank you so much for your contribution, your question, Dr. Dean.
So what could have happened is that this person more than likely suffered a muscle or a ligament strain. And if you're trying to pick up a person, especially if the person is a little bit on the heavier side, that can overstretch or even tear your muscles or ligaments, you know, around the lower back area, around the hips, around the buttocks. And that person is definitely going to experience pain at the back of the hip, and it is going to be worse when the person is moving, when the person is trying to stand up or even getting out of bed. And it will get better with rest, and that pain may come and go depending on the injury of that person. There are possibilities as to why the person may be experiencing no bowel movements. They may be experiencing constipation from the fact that they are having pain, or from the strain as well, because pain, even muscle spasms, reduced mobility, that can slow a person's bowel movements. But definitely, if the person has both pain and trouble passing stools, that could suggest that there's some sort of nerve involvement and make sure that you're also watching out for any sort of new or worsening symptoms. So if they're getting numbness or tingling in the legs or around the buttocks or the groin area, if they have inability to control their bowel or their bladder, either that's they are passing urine without being able to reach the washroom, or even being constipated. And if the back pain is getting worse as they go by. But what I do suggest is please go and get that person checked out, especially since it's been about 3 days and they are still experiencing that level of pain.
Mm-hmm. So the next question coming in, what are the most common signs and symptoms of a hernia?
So I would say the most obvious sign of a hernia is a visible or a palpable bulge, especially in the abdomen or in the groin area. And that bulge will often become a lot more noticeable when the person is standing, when they're coughing, when they're lifting something, or even if they're straining, and it may disappear when they're lying down. Some people may also experience mild discomfort or pressure or aching at the side as well. And in the case of hiatal hernias, these symptoms may include something like heartburn or difficulty swallowing or discomfort in the chest rather than a visible lump for that person. However, not all hernias cause pain, and that is why a lot of people tend to ignore them until the complications arise. The warning signs that suggest that the hernia is becoming worse would be if the hernia is increasing in size, if the person has persistent pain, or if there's a bulge that can no longer be pushed back in. These symptoms should never be ignored because they may indicate a higher risk of obstruction or strangulation, which are complications that can come with these hernias. So early detection and getting it properly assessed by a doctor can prevent serious complications in the long run.
And the next question coming in, are there cases where someone can have a hernia and not even know it?
Absolutely. Many hernias are asymptomatic, especially in the early stages. Some people only discover them incidentally during a physical exam or during some sort of imaging study or even surgery for another condition. Small hernias can exist without any sort of noticeable pain or swelling, but they still carry risks if they are left untreated. The danger when it comes to these quote-unquote silent hernias is that they can suddenly become incarcerated, meaning that they can become trapped or they can even become strangulated, meaning that their blood supply, the blood supply to that portion of the tissue becomes cut off, and that is going to lead to severe complications without any sort of warning. And that is why having a regular checkup is also very crucial, particularly if you have known risk factors like a family history of hernias or obesity or heavy lifting. And even if you notice any subtle signs like intermittent discomfort or bloating or unexplained lumps, it is definitely best to get evaluated as early as you can.
And the next question, how do doctors diagnose a hernia? Is imaging always required?
Most hernias are actually diagnosed through a physical examination. So your doctor is going to ask you about your symptoms. They're going to examine the area, and they will often ask you to stand up, to cough, or to strain to make that bulge more visible to them. In many cases, that alone is enough to confirm the diagnosis. Imaging is something that we will typically receive for situations where the diagnosis is not as obvious or when complications are suspected. Ultrasound is the most commonly used modality, especially when we are looking at groin hernias, but CT scans and MRIs may be needed for deeper or complex hernias like the hiatal hernia. Now, the goal here is really to assess the size, to assess the contents of the hernia, and to assess any sort of potential risks that are associated with the hernia. And that is going to help your doctor to determine what the best treatment approach will be.
What typically causes a hernia to develop in the first place?
So hernias actually occur, like I said, because of a combination of structural weakness and increased internal pressure. Weaknesses can be congenital, meaning that they can be present at birth, or they can be acquired over time because of aging or injury or having had a previous surgery within the abdomen. Now, when abdominal muscles or connective tissues become compromised, everyday activities like lifting or bending or coughing can push your internal tissue through these weak points. And the common triggers that we do see would be heavy lifting, chronic coughing, constipation, obesity, and even pregnancy, all of which increases a person's abdominal pressure. Repeated strain over time can also weaken a person's muscle fibers, and that makes hernias more likely. It is really a myth that only athletes or people who lift weights get hernias. In reality, they occur in everyday situations, like maybe somebody's just carrying a bag of heavy groceries, or even bending down to a garden, or just prolonged standing if there's already a structural weakness within the abdomen itself.
Well, this almost answers the next question, but can lifestyle habits like heavy lifting, poor posture, or chronic coughing increase the risk?
So yes, these lifestyle factors, like we mentioned, they do play a significant role in both the development and, you know, the cause of hernias. But heavy lifting without proper technique, it will dramatically increase a person's intra-abdominal pressure, especially if the person has weak core muscles. Poor posture can also contribute because it essentially places uneven stress on the abdominal wall over time. Chronic coughing from conditions like asthma or smoking or even lung disease exerts this repeated force on the abdominal wall and significantly increases a person's risk. Similarly, if somebody has untreated constipation and they're straining during their bowel movements, these are also major contributors. There are preventive measures like learning proper lifting techniques, maintaining a healthy weight, quitting smoking to reduce coughing, and treating any sort of chronic respiratory illnesses or digestive conditions early.
The next question coming in says, are hernias dangerous if left untreated, or can they sometimes be harmless?
So not all hernias are immediately dangerous, but of course, ignoring them will carry some sort of risk. Some small hernias can remain stable for years without causing any sort of significant discomfort, and that leads people to believe that they are harmless. But hernias do not resolve on their own, and they usually worsen over time. The main danger lies in the complications that can occur. The incarceration, like we mentioned, where the hernia gets trapped, the strangulation, where the blood supply is cut off as well. These strangulated hernias are considered a medical emergency because it leads to death of the tissue and severe infection and life-threatening complications if it is not treated promptly. And watchful waiting is appropriate in some cases, but hernias really should always be assessed and monitored by your doctor to avoid any sort of unexpected emergencies.
And the next one, what symptoms indicate that a hernia has become a medical emergency?
So the red flags that people really need to look out for and seek immediate medical attention for is if they start to experience sudden severe pain, nausea, vomiting, or even a tender red or hard lump that cannot be pushed back in. Those signs may indicate that the hernia has become strangulated, where the blood flow to the trapped tissue becomes cut off, and that leads to rapid tissue damage and even tissue death in some cases. Now, other red flags would be if the person is experiencing swelling in the abdomen, fever, and an inability to pass stool or gas, which can signal that the person has some sort of bowel obstruction. And in those situations, surgery is often going to be required very urgently to prevent any sort of life-threatening complications. And the safest approach really is to treat hernias early before they get to that end stage.
A few questions coming in at 3061065. Is fatty issue on the hip harmless?
Fatty, can you repeat that?
Fatty tissue on the hip harmless.
So when we're looking at fatty tissue on the hip, we have to ensure that, first of all, it is fatty tissue and it's not a lump or bump from anything else. If you've had any new bumps that is occurring on the body, it is always best to get it properly evaluated. But sometimes it could be something very harmless and benign, like a lipoma, and that is basically a non-cancerous growth of fatty tissue under the skin. And it's usually harmless. For most people, they don't really require any sort of treatment unless it is painful, growing fast, or causing some sort of cosmetic concerns.
Another message comes in at 3061065. They say, good day, what causes a lump to come up in your belly when you bend over backwards? I don't know if you answered this already, but if not, can you please explain, wouldn't that be a presentation of the hernia based on what you said earlier?
Yes, so that can actually be a presentation of an abdominal hernia, because when you're bending backwards, your abdominal muscles tend to stretch. And if there's a weakness in the abdominal wall, that lump can be pushed out. And like I mentioned, there are several different types of hernias. You can have an epigastric hernia, which is above the belly button, an umbilical hernia at or around the belly button itself. And really and truly, it can be abdominal hernias, or it can be separation of the muscles itself. It can be a localized, like lipoma or that fatty tissue, as we were just discussing. But you definitely need to look out for any sort of red flags, like if it's becoming suddenly very painful or hard or tender, if you have any systemic symptoms like nausea, vomiting, constipation, and if that lump does not disappear, you know, when you've stopped doing any sort of strenuous activity or when you've stopped bending over backwards.
Next question coming in. How are hernias usually treated? Do they always require surgery?
So treatment of the hernias will be dependent on the type of hernia, the size of the hernia, the symptoms the person is experiencing, and of course the risks that are associated with that particular hernia. Now, small asymptomatic hernias, they may just be monitored with a watchful waiting sort of approach, particularly when we're looking at the older population or those who have high surgical risks, where the risk of the surgery outweighs the risk of them having that specific hernia. However, for most people, surgical repair is the definitive treatment. There are no medications or exercises that
Dr. Dean, are you still there? We lost you for... We lost you for a little bit, so you may have to repeat a little bit of what you just said.
Okay, no problem. So I'm just saying that the treatment of the hernia is really dependent on the type or the size and even the risks that are associated with that particular hernia. If it is small and if there are no symptoms associated with the hernia, then, you know, a watchful waiting approach may be best for some people. Or if the risks of having a surgery outweigh the risks of having that hernia for that person, you know, a watchful waiting may be the best approach. But like I said, surgical repair is the most definitive treatment in most cases. There are no medications or exercises that can, you know, heal a hernia. And there are supportive devices like the hernia belts, but they just temporarily relieve discomfort and they don't actually treat the underlying issue that a person may have. Surgery is the gold standard for preventing any future complications.
What are the different surgical options available and how safe are they?
So there are two main types of hernia surgery. And you have the open repair and the laparoscopic, which is the keyhole repair. Now, in the open repair, then your surgeon is going to make an incision over the hernia site and push the tissue back in place. And that is that's basically reinforcing the weakened area with some sort of suture or mesh material. Laparoscopic repair uses smaller incisions and even a camera that will allow the person to recover faster. It is usually less painful. They will usually have smaller scars as well. I mean, both methods are safe and effective, and the success rates are very good in most cases. Laparoscopic surgery is often something that is more preferred for athletes or people who have had multiple hernias, or if they just want a quicker recovery period. But the best approach is going to be dependent on the size of the hernia, the location, and the person's overall health as well. And that is going to be evaluated by your surgical team.
And more questions coming in. What are the different... did I ask this question? What are the different surgical options available and how safe are they?
Yes. So we just talked about laparoscopic.
Right.
Open.
And what does recovery look like after hernia surgery? And how long before someone can return to normal activities?
So recovery really varies depending on the type of repair that was done, the overall health of that person and, of course, the lifestyle of that person as well. Most patients can usually return to light activities within 1 to 2 weeks after having had laparoscopic surgery and about 3 to 4 weeks for the open repair. Full recovery, including, being able to lift heavy again, doing some strenuous exercises, that will generally take about 6 to 8 weeks. I really do stress this a lot, and it's following your surgeon's instructions. It becomes very critical to preventing any sort of recurrence. Gentle walking, eating a high fiber diet to avoid constipation, and avoiding heavy lifting early on promotes faster healing in persons that abide by these rules. And with proper care, the recurrence rates after having the modern repairs, they're very low. Sometimes they're below 5%.
And what does recovery look like after hernia surgery? Can hernias be prevented? And if so, what lifestyle changes actually make a difference?
So while you can't always prevent hernias, you can significantly reduce your risk by maintaining strong core muscles and managing your body weight as well, and avoiding any sort of excessive strain. So always using, proper lifting techniques, bending at the knees, engaging your core instead of straining your back and your abdomen. And you want to be able to address issues like the chronic coughing, the constipation, and the obesity early on, so that you can also prevent hernias from developing or even becoming worse. Staying active and maintaining a healthy diet supports your abdominal strength, and it also improves your overall tissue health, making you less prone to weaknesses in the abdominal wall.
And the last question for today, what are some common myths about hernias and what's the truth behind them?
So some of the things that I would usually hear would be that people tend to think that you can push a hernia back in and it will heal. Some hernias can be temporarily reduced, but that does not fix the weakness. The risk of recurrence and complications still remain with this temporary reduction because you have not fixed the root issue. And another one that I usually hear is that, doc, I don't lift heavy weights, so I won't get a hernia. But the fact of the matter is hernias can develop from everyday activities, from pregnancy, aging, or even just genetics. It's not just heavy lifting. You don't have to be an elite athlete. You don't have to be a power builder to develop a hernia. You can just be doing your everyday activities. And sometimes because you don't have enough stability in your core and you have increased pressure in your abdomen, that can just have a cascade effect triggering this hernia to form. And people tend to think that these hernia belts can cure hernias. Those devices really just provide temporary relief, but they do not replace surgical repair when it is needed. Surgery remains the gold standard for treatment when it comes to hernia repair, and proper diagnosis and management by your doctor is also essential, because you cannot just, hope that the hernia will go away. Proper action and have it properly monitored by your doctor.
And finally, any last tips on how we deal with hernia? Are there any food tips, diet tips that you would like to leave with us?
So really and truly, like I said, when it comes to lifestyle, it's about trying to prevent yourself from being at risk for hernias. And as we know, something like constipation, even something like smoking, will increase your pressure in your abdominal cavity. And of course, the lifestyle tips I would have would be to avoid smoking, avoid anything that increases intra-abdominal pressure. So you don't want to lift heavy without the proper technique. You also want to make sure that you're avoiding constipation, and that would be including the high fiber foods in your diet on a daily basis, making sure that you are properly hydrated, and even getting in some movement will help with your bowel movements on a daily basis as well.
Well, Dr. Dean, I'd like to thank you so much for joining us today for another edition of The Lunchtime Doctor.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.